Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show right here on KDWN 720 AM 101.5 FM Las Vegas. Getting you ready for week 9 of the National Football League. And I tell you what, folks, it flies. It flies by very, very fast. So my guest co-host today, filling in for Dustin Pfeiffer. Now, Dustin is pulling double duty these days. He's covering the Panthers and the Charlotte Hornets for Bally Sports Southeast. So we brought in our good friend from CBSSports.com who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. And please welcome to the show, Brian DiArdo. What's up, Brian?
Oh, man. It's always great to be with you. And I know I'm kind of filling in for a legend, so I'll try to do my best here. I don't know. Covering those two teams right now, there's a lot to write about. Maybe not a lot of wins, but a lot to write about. So, yeah, happy to be on the show. Happy to talk football with you.
Hey, thanks, Brian, man. And real quick, folks, the show is brought to you by Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. It's the newest resort off the block. Welcome to your new playground. How about a fresh destination catered to the curious? If you crave an experience served straight up, filled with fanciful perks and good times, the time has come to cross it off your bucket list. Are you ready to get everything you didn't know you needed? Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. We also brought to you by Captain. If you're looking for a luxury car service in Las Vegas, Captain makes it quick and easy to get to your destination in style. They have private car service, which offers high-end rides and stylish fleet of zero-emissions electrical vehicles and all that great stuff, sedan, town cars, SUVs, limos, you name it. Captain, that's Captain with a K, K-A-P-T-Y-N. So next Friday and Saturday, we will actually be at Virgin Hotels Las Vegas for our Sports Kings Mean Gene Show podcast, and we will also be celebrating Salute to Veterans on Veterans Day, Friday, November 11th. So, and then the next week, KDWN show will also be coming to you from Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. So, Brian, I tell you what, man, I remember, you know, we kicked off the NFL season. And you know, you would think with 17 games, man, it's going to be a long season. Well, man, you know, we are halfway through it.
And I remember we said this at that time. It's amazing how quick the season goes. Before you know it, you're at the midway point. And so, yeah, but that being said, it is amazing how many teams, you know, seasons are probably already done. You know, you look at Houston, which we expected it would be a tough season for them. I mean, Carolina, we did think going into the season that they could be a team that could maybe scrap for, you know, a wild card spot potentially, but their season's pretty much, you know, come and gone already. And then I hate saying this, but my Steelers season, it's over, and I think it was confirmed with the Chase Claypool trade recently. But yeah, it's crazy how many teams may already be out of the mix, you know, 8-9 weeks in.
It is, and believe it or not, man, you would want to say, you know, talking about the Steelers there with a 2-6 record, setting last place there in the AFC North with a 2-game losing streak there. But you got the Ravens who are 5-3. I mean, I don't think we mathematically are out of it, Brian, but it just doesn't look good for the Steelers, right?
No. Now, that being said, and I know you know this, and a lot of your viewers know this, if not all, that Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. Mm-hmm. And so I will always continue to ride with him and not rule that out until he has his first losing season. But I will say this, the Claypool trade, and he spoke to the media, and I was there a couple of days ago in Pittsburgh, and he didn't use the words rebuilding when he was explaining the Claypool trade. He largely said that you can get a second round pick, you know, that's something they couldn't turn down. And he also said he likes the playmaking ability that the Steelers have in the middle of the field. Well, that's hogwash. There's no way that he likes the production he's getting.
Tell me
about
it.
There's no way. I mean, they have 2 touchdown passes this season. There's no way he feels that way. But he has to say that, right? And so, you know, their defense is still serviceable. They were able to get William Jackson the same day before the trade deadline, a guy they wanted 6 years ago before Cincinnati grabbed him. And the main thing to me, Gene, is they got to fix that offensive line. They've got to figure out that offensive line. And I'll say this, it's a shame Trubisky struggled at the beginning of the year because I think he is the best quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to ask you, though, what is better for the Steelers? I think short term, it would be better to have Trubisky at quarterback, but long-term it's probably better to have Pickett. So I frankly don't know what is the best move for this team. And I'd love to hear your opinion on that.
Well, you know what? I want to address the Claypool trade there before I answer that one, because, you know, one of the frustrations that Chase Claypool had was the opening up of the offense, you know, and getting that ball downfield and doing, you know, just what Pittsburgh Steelers football is all about, throwing the long ball, right? And you said, what, two passes? I mean, come on. You know, but now the question is, who can make that pass? Do you trust your rookie making those long passes, or do you trust Mitchell Trubisky, which I would say, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, but they seem to have been even conservative with him. So I'm a little puzzled at times at what the offense is trying to do, Brian, because I don't know. You know, we're used to that long ball. We know Ben, man, Ben would have thrown the ball, what, 40, 50 times, and, you know, 80% of those were going to be long balls, right? But you still got receivers that can catch those. Deontay Johnson, yeah, I mean, he's known for catching those passes. Even Claypool, and, you know, has put in some long ones. So I don't know. I want to say early on, I was a big supporter of getting Kenny Pickett out there. You don't draft the first round, you know, get a quarterback in the first round. Pittsburgh Steelers haven't done that and win forever. So I knew that he was going to get out there. But, you know, what I didn't expect to see was, you know, the amount of interceptions that he's thrown. He's just, you know, he's still learning the game. But, man, it comes at a cost for Steelers fans, especially in, you know, when it comes to wins and losses. But now that, you know, I've seen what I've seen, I still support the decision. But I wish now that we would have stuck with Mitchell Trubisky a little bit longer.
I think that's the right answer. And I will say this, and I'll give my wife credit, because she said this back in the summer. You know, she said, I think the Steelers hurt themselves by just not declaring a quarterback for the whole season in the summer. Mm-hmm. And you just say, we're going to ride or die with this. Because as you know, right, in Pittsburgh, they're not going to have much patience, especially if they know that there could be potential changes in the air, right? So yeah. I think that was the issue. The minute that Mitch started to struggle, the Boo Birds came out, they started to chant for Kenny Pickett, and then it was over. So I think for Mitch, he would have been able to just go out there and play the way that he can play. And we saw it against Tampa Bay in a little bit of time he came in that game. I think that was the issue, is that they just didn't stick with one guy. But again, as you know, they weren't going to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Not with the Chiefs, not with the Bills and their conference. So probably a good decision for the long haul. That being said, it is unfortunate for guys like Cam Hayward and guys like T.J. Watt, more so Cam, who may not have many more years to try to get that championship.
Yeah, you're right. So it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, moving forward. Didn't want to see Claypool out of there, but I knew as soon as he started voicing his frustrations there, with how the offense is going, something the Steelers just don't stand for. You know, they've learned their lessons with Bell and Brown, so they're not going to have a lot of tolerance for people challenging the system. So good luck to Chase Claypool, and you know, we just see how the season's going to go. Now we got six teams, Brian, that have a bye, and thankfully the Steelers are one of them. You got the Browns, Cowboys, Broncos, Giants, Steelers, and 49ers all have a bye this week in week 9. So the season, the week got underway Thursday night with the fascinating. At least we got one team in the state of Pennsylvania that's doing good, Brian. So how about the Philadelphia Eagles, man? They roll into Houston on Thursday night, and just interesting storylines there, Brian, just between those two cities, Philadelphia and Houston. On the football side, you know, the Eagles are the better, are getting it done there, 8-0. And then, of course, you got the World Series there, Phillies and the Astros.
Man, I hate admitting this. It took me about a good 30 to 45 minutes to realize that both teams playing in those games are all from the same cities. I really hate admitting that my brain worked that slowly last night. But then I noticed it, and I go, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. I was a little bit behind the world there. But, yeah, it was, you know, it was interesting watching the Eagles game, because that was a good game for a long time.
It was.
Damian Pierce he's a really good running back, you know, and we saw it in the preseason, and it's proven to play itself out this season that he's definitely been the highlight of the Houston Texans season. And you know, but as John Facenda for NFL Film said so many years ago, great teams aren't always great. They're just great when they have to be. And that's what the Eagles were last night. They made some nice plays down the stretch. Dallas Goedert was awesome again. Another 100-yard game for him. You know, Miles Sanders, who I love having on one of my four fantasy teams, he played great yesterday. You know, Hurts was poised as he always is. And that secondary with that great interception at the end of the game. And how about a former Steeler, Javon Hargrave, and the job that he's done. And, you know, I know that, and I saw a back and forth with an Eagles writer that works for us and some fans saying that Robert Quinn really hasn't done anything. Well, their pass rush has improved since he's been there, even though he's not getting a lot of reps on the field. So, you know, you can say what you want. You know, he may not individually be putting up stats since he's come over, but the Eagles defense in large has gotten even better. So, yeah, they're a legitimate, obviously they're a legitimate threat. One concern that I have for them, even though I like Myles Garrett, you wonder if they need a bell cow, a Damian Pierce, right, or David Montgomery. I thought that David would be a guy whose name would be in the trade rumblings before the deadline, and I was surprised to see him stay pat in Chicago, because I just thought there would be a team that would want a north-south, no-nonsense running back, and I think that might be the one thing that Philly could be missing, along with a consistent you know, maybe number three, number four receiver.
Yeah, I tell you what, I don't know. I mean, they made the choice that they made there on defense, and you can't never go wrong when it comes to protecting your defense, and you know, and it showed in the second half of that game, because that game was just out of control in the first half, when I've never seen the Texans put up 14 points on anybody. And not less, I didn't see it coming from the Eagles, but hey, they shut them down in the second half of that game. And I think they're going to be okay, because, you know, they got Gainwell, who underrated. They are balanced when it comes to the run and the pass option, as far as I'm concerned, Brian. I don't think they saw a need in getting that extra running back, because Sanders and Gainwell are getting it done.
True. That's true. And one other point on the Eagles too, three turnovers this season. One last night, but then two in the first seven games of the season. I mean, so they do not beat themselves. Conversely, they've forced at least one turnover in every game, multiple turnovers in each of the last three games, had five against the Jaguars back in week four. Mm-hmm. So this is an incredibly complete team. And Jason Kelce, I mean, I think he's just a slam dunk Hall of Famer. I mean, right? Like, him and Travis are going to be a brotherly duo. Brotherly duos are in the Hall of Fame, but I mean, he played great last night. So, I think for them, I mean, I think their biggest threat in the NFC might be a team right now that's 500, right?
I think the Niners are the biggest threat. You look at that record, you look at their upcoming schedule, you know, I say they split with the Cowboys, but who knows, man? They are all legitimate. That 8-0 record is what it is. I mean, they have shown now twice that they can, you know, struggle in the first half and turn it around. We saw that with the Jacksonville game there, and even with the Detroit Lions, you know, the start of the season, they have set the tone. They set the tone from day one.
Right, and I know a lot of people are kind of down on their run defense, because that if there's any kind of weakness on the Eagles, it's that. But how many of that is teams are, you know, down in games, and they're running the ball because they're trying to catch the Eagles defense off guard. We see that a lot when you're watching their games. I saw that with Pittsburgh a lot, where it would be third and 12, and they get, you know, Jaylen Warren on a 10-yard run and things of that nature. So, I mean, I would still be maybe moderately concerned that their running game could be an issue, especially when you look at teams that like the Niners that they'd have to play. But when you look at the NFC in general, I mean, I would say, as you just mentioned, Dallas would be one of their biggest threats, especially their ability to run with Zeke and Pollard, especially if Zeke is healthy. I know Dallas wanted to try to get a receiver before the deadline. Yeah. They weren't able to, but I don't think that's a huge issue for them. I think they still have enough weapons on that offense. They'll be okay.
I agree.
You know, but really, it's Dallas, and it's the 49ers as their two biggest threats. I mean, the Cardinals have had kind of a disappointing start to their season. I mean, I think Seattle's a great story. I don't think anybody's saying Seattle was going to do anything in the play. They could. Pete Carroll's a good coach.
Thank you.
But Minnesota's the one I'm really curious about. Can Minnesota actually make some noise the second half of the season into the playoffs. I mean, this is not the first time that Kirk Cousins has been on a team that started fast. Mm-hmm. So let's see if they can avoid a slow finish, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I tell you what, man, lots of football left, even though we're at the halfway point. So how about we jump into the week that's coming on Sunday here? A couple of good games on Sunday and, of course, Sunday night and Monday. We'll start with the Chargers, the 4-3 Chargers at the 4-4 Atlanta Falcons. Falcons are, you know, surprising people here this year. People didn't see that. They had a big win, overtime win over Carolina last week, 37-34. And then we have the Chargers who were on a bye. They haven't played since a loss in Week 7 to the Seattle Seahawks. So who you liking this one, Brian?
I think that's one of the main reasons why I'm picking the Chargers. They coming off a bye week. They're going to be fresh. I think Atlanta's – and I'm a huge Arthur Smith fan. I really like Arthur Smith. And he's done a great job there. But, no, I think the Chargers are too strong. And, you know, we've talked a lot about running backs on this show. How about Austin Eckler?
Oh, heck yeah.
You know, the Chargers got a bargain when he signed his extension there a couple of years ago. And he's done phenomenal there. I think, again, the questions for them is the health at receiver. And their defense has been spotty. They'll have a great game like they did against Denver. And then Seattle, they drop the ball. But I think they're going to rebound. And they're going to get a win. And they're going to get over 500.
Yeah, I agree with you. They really need that win there. And you know, it's an out-of-conference game. But I like the Chargers on the road in Atlanta to win on Sunday. The next game we have is the Miami Dolphins, 5-3, at the 3-5 Chicago Bears. Miami, they went over Detroit, 31-27. Tua Tagovailoa is just, you know, putting up incredible numbers, especially for fantasy football owners. And then you got the Bears who, man, they just took a big beat down in Dallas, 49-29. So I don't know where the Bears are really heading this year, but I like the Dolphins in this game.
I do too, but I think it's going to be closer than people think. I think that Fields is – they're going to try to get Claypool involved early in this game. I don't know how involved, but they are going to try to get him going. Again, they have Montgomery, who I'm a big fan of, and I like, in general, Chicago's running game. And I think that offense is going to figure it out. I think they're going to continue to get better. But losing Roquan Smith, I mean, that's going to really hurt them.
Yeah.
I do like the Dolphins in this game. I agree with you. I think it will be closer than some people might think.
Okay. The next game we have, and it'd be interesting to see, and I got to text Dustin to see what he like here as far as this game. The 2-6 Carolina Panthers at the 4-3 Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, it's an interesting game, Brian, because it's amazing how no one is talking about that offensive line of the Bengals except for Joe Burrow, who has been sacked I don't know how many times. It's amazing this guy can stand up and walk, Brian, for how many times he's been on his backside.
Yeah, they were getting better after week two, and then they obviously slipped up in Cleveland you know, with Myles Garrett and Clowney and the defensive guys that they have on that side of the ball. But, yeah, it hasn't been good. Leo Collins hasn't really worked out there. So
no.
They're going to have to draft an offensive lineman in the first round. But really, to me, the concern with Cincinnati has been, you know, the run defense didn't do great. They lost possession downs against Cleveland. They allowed Donovan Peoples-Jones to make a couple of clutch catches. Amari Cooper ran wild against them. But, you know, if they lose this game, I think it is time to panic in Cincinnati. You'd fall back to down under 500.
Yeah.
But similarly to the Bengals' recent win over Atlanta, they tend to do very well against teams that on paper they should beat.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, I will take Carolina. Now, that being said, I want a big game from Donta Foreman. He's one of my running backs in fantasy. So I like him. And I like Brian Burns. I will say that. If you're saying Brian Burns' name a lot on Sunday at Cincinnati, that's not a good thing. But I will say this, though, once again, Gene, let's see if the Bengals' offense can do something without Ja'Marr Chase. He was the big reason why they lost it in Cleveland.
Yes.
So let's see what happens. Is it going to be Hayden Hurst? Is it going to be Tyler Boyd? Who's going to step up and deliver for that offense with Ja'Marr Chase out?
So you taking the Panthers?
Digging the Bengals, but
okay.
Again, like they're gonna blow them out, but there's a lot of question marks there. If they lose this game, it's gonna be nasty.
It is going to be nasty, and I think they rebound, Brian. I know, missing Ja'Marr Chase. Hell, I missed Ja'Marr Chase because he was in my fantasy lineup. So,
right.
So I tell you, I look for them to rebound, you know, especially Cleveland just dominated them. I just don't see them having back-to-back bad games like that. So I got the Bengals getting there, because that AFC North is still up for grabs, and you don't want to get below 500 and just give it to Baltimore. So I like Cleveland. I like Cincinnati to win on Sunday. All right, the next game we have is the Green Bay Packers, 3-5 at the 1-6 Detroit Lions. Now, this is probably an old cliche, but I just think Detroit is better than 1-6, their record. They just came out early on in the year and just hung with teams. Hell, at one particular time, they were leading the NFL in points per game. But I don't know. I don't know about this one. And then you got the Green Bay Packers, who are very disappointing. They get beat by Buffalo last week, 27-17. And, of course, Miami handled Detroit 31-27. So who you like in this one?
Let's go with the upset. Let's go with Detroit. I think that the Detroit can pull this out. I like their weapons on offense. The big thing for me is if they can get healthy. You know, Swift seems like he's always kind of battling injuries, unfortunately. But I like them. I think Hutchinson is a really good player. They've got some talented guys on defense, and as you alluded to, they've been close a lot. And maybe at this point, do we just accept that Green Bay is not a good team? Right? At some point, you have to accept that. And and again, similarly to Cincinnati, I think this is a must-win game for Green Bay. They lose this game, they drop further below 500. I think it's panic time. So I like Detroit in this game. Let's go for the upset. We haven't picked one yet.
I'm yeah. Go for it. Hey, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon with you, because I just, 1-6, I didn't see that coming, man. It just looked like this team, when you really watch them playing, and then all of a sudden someone tells you what their record is, you're like, really? Because they do play, some pretty good football. You know, putting up 27 points against Miami's defense. I mean, they score. They know how to score. They just don't know how to close a game out. But, yeah, I think they take advantage of a beaten-up, broken-down Green Bay Packers team, which has, owned them in that division. But I like that upset. Okay, I think we can get one more in here. How about this one? The 2-5 Las Vegas Raiders at the 2-6 Jacksonville Jaguars. So, for Las Vegas listeners, it's just been a long season already. It's been a long season for Raider fans. And, of course, I know that Josh McDaniels, he was called to the principal's office a couple of times there with Mark Davis. And apparently there's two forms of communications coming out of Las Vegas. One is saying privately that, hey, Mark Davis is fed up publicly. He shows his support and says, hey, that Josh McDaniel is going to be around for a long time. So we should see. But they lose this game Sunday in Jacksonville. I don't know. That report changes every week. Who you like in this game, Brian?
Well, see, I wonder, when I was a kid in middle school, if I got my name on the board with a check mark, I had to do a letter written home. And then two check marks was a detention. So does he have his name on the board and a check mark? I wonder. But so we got to avoid the double check mark. So I'm going to go ahead and say they were going to win this game. I think for me, and it goes back to the preseason, I'd like to see the Raiders run the ball. Drafted a rookie running back. They still have Josh Jacobs. Run the ball. I think they need to establish an offensive identity, take the pressure off of David Carr. I know they've had injuries at receiver. I like Matt Collins a lot, but it might be a little too much for him too early. Obviously, Adams has been banged up a little bit, but really that defense has to play better. But I think you got to simplify the game, limit the possessions Jacksonville gets. You can win an ugly game. Just try to win ugly. It doesn't have to be a Mozart painting, right? Just win the game. So just win, baby, and I like the Vegas Raiders in this one in a close, ugly game.
You know what? I'm going to go with the Raiders, but it's going to be an interesting game because, number one, I like the matchup there at the coaching position. I like, Doug Peterson going against Josh McDaniels, who he was able to, win a Super Bowl against a couple of years ago. So I don't know. This Jacksonville team can be scary. I think, I want the Raiders to win because I know when I'm out there next week, man, I tell you, all hell's going to break loose if they don't win this game. And maybe Mark Davis starts to voice his opinion publicly on Josh McDaniels. But Raider Nation is not feeling this guy, so we should see. Hey, we're at the bottom of the hour, and what we'll do is we'll take this break, and when we come back, we'll finish up the second half of the games here. So you're listening to the Mean Gene Show right here on KDWN, 720 AM, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas. When it comes to making plans, you are the best. From those delicious barbecues to special birthdays and unforgettable family get-togethers. The same way you plan for those important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster like a hurricane, flood, wildfire, or tornado. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communication plan. Get started today at ready.gov/plan. A public service message brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. And we are back, folks. Once again, you are listening to the Mean Gene Show right here on KDWN 720 AM 101.5 FM Las Vegas. Getting you ready for week 9 of the National Football League. I am joined by my great friend here, filling in for Dustin Pfeiffer from CBSSports.com, Brian DiArdo. So, Brian, you ready to knock out the second half here?
I just pounded a Monster Energy drink, so I'm ready to go. So if I start talking too fast, just try to slow me off the tracks a little bit here.
Hey, because you know you're a writer, so I know that I know you write fast, because I've actually sat right next to you and saw you typing what are you up to, like 100 words a minute now?
I'd make my a little bit faster than my third grade teacher used to yell at me for being too slow. We've improved since then.
Thank you. I know it, man. So, hey, real quick, the show is brought to you by Virgin Hotels Las Vegas, the newest resort off the block, 4455 Paradise Road. Come over there and check us out. Sports Kings, Mean Gene Show, the picks are in. We will be there next weekend, Veterans Day weekend, just having a great time with our veterans, saluting our veterans and all of that great stuff. We also brought to you by Captain. And Captain is the official limousine service of the Mean Gene Show. You know, they pick me up in these nice Teslas and these limos. Sometimes, Brian, I am in a stretch limo all by myself. I really feel bad, but I feel good at the same time.
I know exactly how that feels. By the way, every time I make reservations for a restaurant and I walk in and I feel bad for people sitting there, it's like, well, they could have made a reservation.
They could have made a reservation.
I get what you're saying there, even though it's not a limo. It's a little somewhat similar.
I know. Hey, man, it's all about that service. So anyway, Captain, that's Captain with a K, K-A-P-T-Y-N. Get online and make your reservation. So, all right, I believe we ended with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Raiders. And I know we were talking a little bit offline the Raiders got to get that win. They have to get that win, because I just, things are just uneasy, and winning cures everything. But this has been a very disappointing year for Raider Nation. And one of the other things I wanted to mention was just Darren Waller. I know injuries have been there, but it just seems like he's a different player this year.
Yeah, it's interesting, and you wonder if it's just not he's not having fun this season, if the injuries have taken away his joy of the game. I mean, you do start to see that with a lot of players, where all of a sudden they hit around the 30. And his age is surprising me. The fact that he's around 30,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, you know, that surprised me. So, who knows? It could just be a reboot season for him. He might just, you know, and again, we see that with a lot of players where they fight to get healthy, and then all of a sudden you see a report that they're shutting it down for the year. So just to stop fighting that fight, right? I mean, we saw with Andrew Luck, right? He kept trying to do that, then ultimately just gave up. So hoping for the best for Darren, and hopefully he can get healthy and have a nice second half of the season.
Yeah, same here. And then, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever thought about this. Maybe just having, so much attention was focused on getting Devontae Adams I don't know. Maybe he's a little salty about it. I'm just saying now. You know?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, there could be something there outside of the injury. Like we talked about, it could just be an unhappiness for whatever reason, right? Because these guys are human.
Yeah.
They're not robots out there.
Indeed they are. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and kick off the second half of our schedule for week 9. We got the 3-4-1 Indianapolis Colts at the New England Patriots, 4-4. You know, this used to be a good matchup back in the day when there was a Tom Brady and a Peyton Manning. That's not the case now, as Sam Ehlinger and Mac Jones are the headliners there at the QB position. So who do you like in this matchup on Sunday?
Yeah, I kind of call this the iPhone rivalry, because the last time that this was a real rivalry was when the iPhone was invented in 2007. So it's been a minute. It's been a minute. But I like New England. I mean, and speaking of old stuff, they could trot out Drew Bledsoe and probably win this game. I don't know what's going on in New England with the whole quarterback situation. I still think that Mac Jones is the better quarterback, but Zappi's made it interesting, but I don't. It doesn't to me. Again, it doesn't matter. I like LaMondre Stevenson a lot. He's kind of turned into a nice surprise player this season. And New England is always going to have a good defense with Belichick as long as he's got a healthy unit on that side of the field. So I like them. And man, for fantasy owners, me, and I'm one of them, Jonathan Taylor, he's having the season I thought he'd have last year when I traded him before the year started, to my demise. I have him this year. Probably should have traded him for Joe Mixon when I had the chance. Mm-hmm. He may or may not play in this game. And they just traded Naheem Hines to Buffalo. So yeah. I don't really know what's going on in Indianapolis, but I like New England in this game.
Yeah, same here. Sam Ehlinger, certainly, you know, I don't know. I watched this kid play his college football. And then I think he played in Texas. And then I don't know. I just thought Frank Reich, to me, is probably one of those coaches that I think – at the end of the year would probably be fired. And you know, it's just disappointing. You know, the Matt Ryan thing just didn't work out. And what in your opinion, what happened there?
That's it. Exactly. Well, I think he, similar to Trubisky, I think that it's hard to figure out a new offense right away, even if you're a veteran quarterback. And I think for Ryan, you know, veteran quarterbacks, I think, need to be set up in good situations. I mean, and let's go way back to Joe Montana, right? Mm-hmm, People forget that, you know, he had a good team in Kansas City. You know, they brought Marcus Allen in that year. He had Neil Smith and Derek Thomas on the other side of the field. You know, when Peyton Manning went to Denver in 2012, that team was ready to go.
Oh, heck yeah.
Von Miller and everything. So I just think older veteran quarterbacks, you can still be good, but you've got to have a good setup. And we're seeing with Brady right now, he just does not have a good setup right now in Tampa. So I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
You can't have a 37-year-old quarterback having to will the team to victory. And I think Taylor's injury, I think, was the biggest thing there, Gene. If they had healthy Taylor, I think that they'd be an 11-6 outfit or 10-7 outfit this season. But with his injury, that really sank the team.
It really did. I agree with you totally on that. So I do like New England Patriots winning this game on Sunday versus the Indianapolis Colts. All right. Now, this is going to be a good one, a good AFC East matchup here. And you got the Buffalo Bills, 6-1. They will be at MetLife Stadium taking on the 5-3 New York Jets. I tell you what, Brian, if you would have bet me, and you know we spend a lot of time in Vegas gambling, that the Giants and the Jets would both be relevant and winning, I would have tucked that bet, man.
Right. Are we going to be brave enough to pick the Jets? This game I'm covering this weekend. Are we going to be brave enough?
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to let you go first. I'm going to listen.
I can't. I want to. I can't, though. You know what? I am. Let's go with the Jets. And here's the reason why. Buffalo commits a lot of turnovers. And that's been one of the things I'm surprised when I look at their four-game winning streak, as I did earlier today. They've turned the ball over, I think, in each of those games. So I think the Jets have the defense to force those turnovers. Sauce Gardner, as we all know, has had a great season and so far. And you know, Williams, their defensive lineman. So, and Saleh, obviously, with his defensive prowess. I think they have the defense that can beat Buffalo. The question is going to be, can Zach Wilson get enough done? And, again, similar to, like, as we said, with Vegas and Jacksonville, slow down the game. Slow down limit the possessions Buffalo can have.
Yeah.
And you can win this game. And I don't know if the weather's going to be an issue. It would certainly help the Jets if it was. But let's go with New York. I think they can do it if they can force turnovers and if they can minimize the amount of times that Buffalo gets the ball.
Hey, if this was a couple of years ago, you know, we both would be called crazy. I wouldn't have a show. You wouldn't be writing. You know what I'm saying? It's just that, you know, you couldn't make this pick a couple of years ago because the Jets have just been historically bad. But taking nothing away from the Buffalo Bills, who they know that window of opportunity is this year for them. Even losing this game shouldn't really hurt them. But, you know, it is a divisional matchup here. But the defense of the Jets is just so good. And the fact that this game is going to be at home for them, and they're coming off a loss already to a division opponent last week versus New England. It's not far-fetched that they could, you know, win this game. And you know, Zach Wilson has just come in there and just, oh, my goodness, 355 yards last week? I mean, we're seeing, you know, growth in the quarterback here that people didn't have a lot of belief in there. And give it up to his coach, man, for believing in this kid. And he's getting help from Michael Carter and James Robinson, not to mention the rookie Garrett Wilson. And I can see it. I don't even think it would be an upset, to be honest with you, because the Jets are really good this year. I'm taking the Jets with you.
All right. And Jordan Poyer is going to be out, too, for the Bills. So that's a guy. And if there's a weakness, again, with Buffalo, it would be in that secondary. They're obviously, their front seven's really tough. But, man, I guess we're feeling a little risky. We're rolling the dice a little bit here.
Well, we've done it on a couple of picks here, so it's going to be interesting. You know, I'm going to text you Sunday and see how we stand there. But hey, the Jets are to be taken serious, folks. And I just, you know, looking at the conference matchup there, they want to be in the playoffs, and they know this is one of those games where, in order for them to even get that wild card, they have to win. They have to win this game, I think. So, and I think they can. All right, the next one we have is the 6-1 Minnesota Vikings at the Washington Commanders, 4-4. And I guess the big news out of Washington, D.C., is the fact that Daniel Snyder might sell the team.
Yeah, I think that he's kind of getting his ducks lined up to do that. And I think it's a great thing. You know, fortunately, because we heard reports a couple of weeks ago, that instead of maybe selling the team, he was going to leak dirty laundry of other owners and stuff. It seems like he's going to take a more adult approach to this, but I think it's what we all want, right? And I think I've never been to their stadium, but I've not heard good things. Yeah. It's unfortunate too, and I'll say this, and Ron Rivera said it numerous times. I'm a huge Ron Rivera fan. I think he's a really good coach.
Same here.
You know, it's a shame. He has said this numerous times in his press conference. It's just such a shame that all the questions to the team is about the ownership and not about the team. And I like this team a lot. It's a nice young team that plays hard for coach. Hopefully that gets resolved, and hopefully the team can be sold sometime soon here.
Yeah, and Ron Rivera, you're right. He has taken the brunt of all of this and done a hell of a job, you know, of damage control for the Washington Commanders there. But, Daniel Snyder. Now, you know, parts of me kind of want that dirty laundry. I was looking forward to kind of listening to it.
Yeah, you know, we got no skin in it, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Why not? It would make for headlines. It would give us stuff to talk about in the offseason.
Yeah, exactly. But on the flip side of this, man, Kirk Cousins in the Minnesota Vikings, it just seems like another one of those years where Vikings are enjoying early success, which hasn't always led to, you know, the results that they've wanted in the second half of the season. But I think they get the win Sunday in Washington. What do you think?
It's going to be another close one. And I was tempted to take Washington, but after New York, I'm going to try to go back more on the safe side here. And I'll go with them. And I like their running game. And man, Justin Jefferson has been a stud. But really in this game, I think Gene is a nice matchup between two wideouts that – don't get a ton of notoriety. I mean, Jefferson does, but not as much as Stephon Diggs and other guys in our league. But Terry McLaurin is just such a pro.
Yes.
He went to my alma mater, so I'm a little bit biased there. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if Washington won this game. But I'll err on the side of caution and go with Minnesota.
Okay. All right. The next matchup we have is going to be a good one. And the NFC West, and I'm looking at the standings right now, and the Seattle Seahawks. We're talking about Geno Smith leading the Seattle Seahawks. They got a three-game win streak going. They are 5-3 ahead of the 49ers, Rams, and Cardinals, which is still a tight game there, a tight race there in that division. But, man, what are your thoughts on Seattle and what they're doing? The record is not pretty, but it doesn't have to be to win a division, right?
It doesn't. Real quick, I hate to do this. I'm going back, and I'm going to go ahead and change my prediction for Vikings Commanders. I think this is a game that Minnesota's going to stub their toe, and I think they might be looking a little too far into the future. I think Heineke's good, and I think if you can shut down that running game, you could beat the Vikings. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to change that one real quick.
Okay.
Now moving on to what the game you said, Yeah, I mean, Arizona's defense has really been staggering to me how bad their defense is. 30th in the league in points allowed. And really, when you look at the Cardinals, they've been snake bitten by injuries on offense. I mean, James Conner, unfortunately, his injuries in Pittsburgh have carried over to Arizona. Hollywood Brown getting hurt. I do like Arizona in this game, and I won't go back and change it to 20 seconds later. I'm going to stay with it, even though I like – and that was one of the reasons why I changed my pick for Washington, because I wanted – because I like upsets, right? I like picking upsets. But if I'm going to go ahead with Arizona in this one, then I can't say Minnesota in the last one. So okay. I am going to go with the home team in this game. I think Arizona is going to win. And I think it comes down to quarterbacks. As good as Geno Smith has played, I really – like the quarterback Kyler Murray out in Arizona. And I think this is one of those games where stars have to be stars. You have to play at an elite level to get your team a must-needed win. So I am really picking this game solely on what I like from Kyler Murray.
Okay. You know what? In Arizona, because this divisional race is really tight, you know, even though the Cardinals are sitting there at last place, they're only two games, you know, out of first. And that this division, they have been beating up on each other. And I just keep thinking back to the way the season started with the Cardinals, with that just a beatdown at home versus the Chiefs, and these injuries are, you know, really holding them back. I'm gonna go with the Seattle Seahawks. I'm gonna see how far they can take this success, because here's an opportunity to separate themselves, you know, in this division. You know, with when I know the 49ers, I think we said they're not playing this week, right? So. There's an opportunity there to get some separation in the standings there. And I'm just really – one thing I like about the NFL, and, you know, it stands for not for long sometimes. So who would have thought that Russell Wilson gets traded and he would go to Denver and have a successful career, and everyone figured, okay, wow, man, the Seahawks are just really going to suck this year with Geno Smith and the other quarterback. I can't think of his name. But, man, this is just – you know – Geno Smith is just taking advantage of an opportunity that a lot of people don't get. And it's just really good to see this success happening there in Seattle.
Dean, I want to ask you, if they win this game, I mean, Pete Carroll, Coach of the Year, needs to start being discussed. What would it take for him to ultimately maybe win that? Would it take a playoff? I think it would probably take the Seahawks making the playoffs. I don't think the 8-9 would win that award. I think they actually have to make the playoffs. I think Daboll has got that in his back pocket right now. Harold, you got to start saying that if they win this game and really stick around, right? And everything against them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's going to have to take – I don't see but one team making the playoffs out of this division. And it would have to be the division winner. I mean, we could see a wild card. I doubt it. Have to, you know, with the NFC East, you know, with those teams having great records, the Giants, Cowboys, and Eagles, you know, you might even get three teams from that division in the playoffs. You never know. I mean, if things keep up that way. So Seattle would have to win that division for Pete Carroll, I think, to get that Coach of the Year, which is not far-fetched, though. I like the way you think there, Brian.
Yeah, and again, Kenneth Walker, you know, we're talking about a lot of young, good running backs in this league, right? And I think that's where Pete Carroll, give him so much credit, because they've always kept that identity, right? We're smash-mouth football. We do have playmakers on the outside, but really it's a quarterback that doesn't lose games for us. And having good – I mean, their defense was dreadful the last couple of years. It's still not great, but a lot better. So, yeah, credit to Pete Carroll for continuing to get it done in Seattle.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on that and see how that pans out. How about this next matchup here of winners of the last two Super Bowls? You have the 3-4 Los Angeles Rams at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 3-5. Now, these records, I tell you what, even though the records stink this year, these two teams still demand a lot of attention. They're still popular. They still make for good TV ratings. You got Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady. And one thing I can say about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, it just seems like old age is starting to show, Brian.
I feel like this is like an Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus golf matchup in like 2005, right? It's like a seniors skins tournament or something, you know, that we're just going to throw out, you know, 30 years after it's prime. So, you know, I don't know. But, yeah, I think this is like a senior tournament, and I – I think you gotta pick Tampa Bay in this game. And I think the Rams, their lack of weapons for Stafford has been alarming. I don't think Stafford is still fully healthy. I know he had some injuries last year. He played through. He's not doing it now. I'm almost positive Kupp's going to play, even though he did deal with a injury near the end of last week's game. And they do have Akers back, but I just don't think they have enough. And their defense isn't quite what it was last year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the most exciting thing about this game is probably going to be whether or not Tom Brady is able to get that 100,000 yards. He needs only 164 passing yards to become the first player to ever get 100,000 career passing yards. That is, and last week he had 325 in the loss to Baltimore. But of course, man, that's probably the storyline coming out of this game here. But I take the Buccaneers.
On that note, this is insane. Just to talk about what you just said, the 100,000 mark. So Kent Stabler, who's in the Hall of Fame and should have been in many years before mm-hmm. he was inducted in 16, he had 28,000 regular season passing yards, 28. And in the playoffs, added another 2,700 to that tally. So I don't know. I'm not a math guy. What is that, roughly 32,000 yeah. yards he threw for his career, mm-hmm. something like that, 31,000?
Mm-hmm.
Brady's 100,000?
Crazy
perspective. It's crazy, and I think Staubach didn't even hit 25,000 yards for his career regular season and playoffs. So Tom Brady threw for 750% more than Roger Staubach, who's an all-decade guy. It's wild the numbers that he's put up, and he certainly was aided with the era that he played in. But not taking anything away from him,
yeah.
He's had three legitimate Hall of Fame careers.
Oh yeah, how about that? I know when you look at it that way, that's incredible. So you like the Buccaneers? We both like the Buccaneers in that game, right?
Yep, we like the Buccaneers. In that
okay,
game.
Yep. So we got about 4 minutes left to go in the show and two picks. So how about this? It's the Sunday
perfect,
night game.
Perfect.
And the Monday night game. So this Sunday night game is going to be a really good matchup. It's the AFC, championship game or AFC playoff game that I wanted to see last year between the Titans and the Chiefs. But thanks to the Bengals, they kind of derailed that. So now here the Titans are 5-2. They are at the Kansas City Chiefs 5-2. So, and you got Andy Reid coming off a bye. They're at home. Sunday Night Football on NBC. Who do you like?
Yeah, I'm picking up upsets, Gene. So far, I'm gonna ride with the favorites to close the show out. Let's go with the Chiefs. Derrick Henry's amazing, though, isn't he?
He is
amazing. I think, and I don't know. He's got to be close to I think he just passed Eddie George for the leading rusher in Titans.
Yeah, he did.
History. I think he's a Hall of Famer. So you never know. I mean, it could be a game where they give him the ball a bunch, and you know that's what they're going to want to do, right?
Yeah,
they're going to want to
yeah.
make this game ugly and run
mm-hmm.
it, pound
mm-hmm.
the ball. I could see Tennessee making it close, but Kansas City, I think this could be a weekend where Kansas City really puts their foot down and declares themselves as the NFL's best team. So I like the Chiefs in this one.
I do too. And we've heard it over and over and over again. Give Andy Reid an opportunity. Coming off this bye week, and he's been doing more than painting mustaches on people who sleep on a plane. So I think he's been preparing for this game here, because this is a big time game, the one that we didn't get to see last year in the playoffs. But I think the Chiefs take care of business, and brings us to the Monday Night Football game, which is not as stellar as we would like for it to be, but it's still, anytime Lamar Jackson is playing on TV, it makes for good TV watching there. You got the 5-3 Baltimore Ravens at the 3-5 New Orleans Saints. Ravens, big win over the Buccaneers the previous Thursday night. So, and then you have your Saints, who are coming off a loss there in London to the Minnesota Vikings, 28-25. So who do you like in this Monday night matchup?
I think we're going to go with Baltimore. It is a shame, though, that they've tried to give Lamar more weapons, but Bateman obviously is out with a season-ending injury. But two guys on fantasy that I have, and I'm looking forward to watching them, Kenyon Drake, who had a touchdown the last time Baltimore played, Devin Duvernay, who had a big start to the season on special teams and on offense. I think he's going to continue to be showcased in that offense. And obviously, Mark Andrews is one of the best tight ends in the game. So I like them in this one, and as you said, but again, too, another guy that I'm excited to see is Alvin Kamara. So I'm excited to watch him, and it should be an exciting game, if nothing else. I mean, Andy Dalton makes it, I mean, interesting, if anything else. So I think it'll be a high scoring game, an exciting game, and I think a game that Baltimore wins. And I think Baltimore is trying to reestablish their dominance in the AFC North, and they could do so with a win here on Monday night.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with that pick as well. I like the Baltimore Ravens to stay first place in that AFC North. Well, hey, Brian, that's it, man. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule there, and we still want to get you out in Vegas, man. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Mean Gene Show. Hope you enjoy your Sunday games, and we'll see you back here in Las Vegas next weekend on the Mean Gene Show right here on KDWN 720 AM Las Vegas.